This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Infrastructure and Derek Chauvin's case in Minneapolis today. Many eyes watching that. Plus, sadly, multiple victims found at the scene of a deadly shooting in Orange, California. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you're safe, well, and finding your way out of the bubble a little bit at a time as we see some different things happening with the pandemic lifting in some areas, the restrictions, etc., but still exercising caution. And a president takes a swing at a baseball team for not doing that. Some of what we'll be talking about this hour. All right, so we start with Derek Chauvin and one of the big moments in this case, which is the first week of that trial, is the minutes after Floyd was taken away in an ambulance last May. A former Minneapolis cop, Derek Chauvin, was confronted by a witness who took, of course, aim at him, issue with him, if you will, for kneeling on Floyd's neck. And that's one person's opinion was what he responded as he got into his police car. He said, "We had to control this guy because he's a sizable guy. It looks like he's probably on something." So there was a tiny short clip of that from his body cam that was played in his criminal trial on Wednesday. It's the first time the public has heard the ex-officer's perspective in the 10 months since Floyd died under his knee. Charles McMillan, a 61-year-old witness, testified that he observed Floyd's arrest on the 25th of 2020 of May and that he encouraged Floyd to comply with the police, repeatedly saying, "You can't win, you can't win, you can't win," as Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck and Floyd was crying out for help. You can also hear McMillan on the video telling police to get your knee off his neck. This is part of what was seen streaming today out of, again, this Minneapolis courthouse. After Floyd's limp body was taken away, McMillan had a conversation with Chauvin because he said, "What I watched was wrong." So the third day of that trial featured more testimony from bystanders who interacted with Floyd, as well as graphic excerpts, if you will, of that body cam footage showing his arrest and final moments. In the videos, Floyd gasped that he's claustrophobic, repeatedly saying he can't breathe, and calls for his mother. And of course, after that, there were shirts that said, "I can't breathe," and mass and protests after the death of Floyd. And that's from those moments, the 9+ minutes, as that moves on. Heavy, heavy protection at that courthouse, if you will. I've said it a few times, but $1 million was spent in trying to secure that location for fear of what could happen. There was certainly a sad moment in the day when the realization hit in California. Here we go again. Police found several victims at an office complex in Orange, California. They responded to the call of shots fired on Wednesday night. They arrived as they were being fired and located several people at the scene, including some fatalities. Again, it was an office complex. The situation was stabilized. There was no threat to the public, but it was horrifying and excuse me, heartbreaking, according to California Governor Gavin Newsom, who tweeted that out, said it was just a terrible tragedy, and they're trying to sort all of that out. It wasn't too long ago that has just unfolded. And it's been a horrific couple of weeks when you think of what's happened now in shootings in Atlanta, in Colorado, and of course now this one in Orange, California. And the first thing you think about is, what possibly is the motive? How did this happen? And luckily, they responded as quickly as they could, so perhaps there were a few lives in this setting that were saved, is what it's looking like, but there were also deaths. When we talk about COVID-19, the pandemic, as I said, some of you may be coming out of the bubble that you've been in. COVID-19 has killed 552,038 people in the United States, infected about 30.5 million since last January. All these numbers come from Johns Hopkins University. We're seeing that cases are going up in some areas, and other areas the cases have leveled off. The fear for many in the medical community is that people are relaxing, that they're not doing the things they were doing before, social distancing, wearing masks, being cautious, using hand sanitizer, not getting into big crowds. And President Biden actually took a shot at a Major League Baseball team, and that's the Texas Rangers, because they are the only Major League Baseball team that is allowing full capacity on opening day at their stadium, Globe Life Park. When they take on the Toronto Blue Jays, it's a matinee game, and Biden says it's ridiculous that they would do that, because others, of course, are not filling their stadiums to capacity. They're offering tickets that are cut in half or much less, or 30% of a stadium. But Texas has decided to go the other way and fill up the stadium for opening day. He says it's a huge mistake. Many of you have weighed in when we go to the mailbag about the pandemic and how you feel at this point, whether you feel safer, whether you feel as though there still are things to be concerned about, and what do you think about the vaccine? Lots and lots of mail this time around surrounding COVID and where we find ourselves at this point versus where we were a year ago, where we were 6 months ago, where we were just a couple of months ago. As the vaccine becomes available to so many more people, pretty much in most states, there's a wide open door for 16 and above, making it easier for those who want to get the vaccine to get it. And that's the good news for those that want to get vaccinated. The bad news is there's still plenty that don't want to get vaccinated. And what does that mean in a world that now seems to be pitting those that get vaccinated against the people who don't get vaccinated, just like we saw with the people who wear masks and the people who refuse to wear masks? And it just keeps separating. Instead of bringing people together in this fight against this elusive SOB of a virus, it's been a very big separator in the United States. Not as much in other areas around the world. A little bit, but not as much, but bigger in the United States. Coming up, we head to the mailbag for your opinions on what I just said, all things related to COVID, and a little of this and that.
Brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Ed Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who understands how important the B complex of vitamins is for maintaining a healthy heart. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there, and the B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. The B vitamins work on the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. When it comes to heart disease, we got 600,000 people in this country who die of heart disease every year. Some 64 million Americans have some form of heart disease. The B vitamins, a nickel's worth of B vitamins every day, is the most powerful nutritional way to protect yourself from heart disease.
To feed your heart the nutrients it needs for good health, order Longevity's Pollen Burst by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebed.com. That's brightsidebed.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Malcolm? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Yes, thanks to everybody for all of the thoughts they threw our way through the miracle of the internet. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, 24/7. You can do the same as Joe, Biggs, William, and Sue did. They all weighed in some form about the pandemic. Let's go to Joe's comment first in California. Kate, did you see that Sarah Palin is now pushing wearing the mask, saying that she had some awful symptoms? And is really telling people, don't be the one who comes down with the virus next. I did see that because she tested positive. So the former governor of Alaska and vice presidential Republican nominee, now a television personality, I suppose is the best way to describe her, said that she was pretty confident about her health and saying, you know, that she was tired of the being frozen in time and with the mask, etc. But she said that one of her daughters woke up having lost her sense of taste and smell and immediately had a positive COVID test and was then quarantined. And children with special needs, and she has one, Trig, who has Down syndrome, had a high fever. So he responded to that. That was the good thing. But she said she had some bizarre symptoms. You know, she had the loss of taste and smell, and it caught her off guard. And when she tested positive, she said it really knocked her for a loop, and it really knocked her down when she thought she was so healthy. She said it was frightening, and she... It just hit her like a ton of bricks. And, you know, she announced in January that her mother, Sally, had died and that her dad had just gotten his second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. So she now is really pushing wearing the mask in, you know, public. Do it. That it's nothing to mess with. So, yeah. So there you go. And again, she has a child with Down syndrome, realizing, and look what happened to him, that it's not a place that you want to be. And I say this all the time. Once something hits you, right, it's you feel invincible, and then once something hits you, then you have a whole different feeling about things. All right, Biggs in Connecticut weighs in. Kate, I've listened to you talk about the virus, and I don't want to end up like France, Italy, or any of those other spots where they have these crazy curfews, and they're seeing more and more people fill up their ICU beds. So I was one of those manly men that wasn't wearing a mask in the beginning, but blank that. I'm wearing it now and telling everyone else I know to wear them too. And my group initially, I have to be honest, was not very good about it. We were playing softball, drinking, hanging out, and not really doing the mask or distancing thing. A couple of people tested positive for COVID a couple of months into this thing, and now things have turned around. We're masking, social distancing much better, and not partying out at any of the bars. There you go. Touche. Once again, once it comes close to you, then you see it up close and personal, and it feels a lot different. And you're right about Bigsy, about, you know, do we want to have what we see happening in Europe? President Macron ordered France into a third national lockdown. So national, not, you know, like we talk about states. And said schools would close for 3 weeks because they're pushing back on that third wave. The death toll, about 100,000, very close to it. Intensive care units just at a breaking point and a very slow vaccine rollout. So the goal of keeping the country open to protect the economy just went right out the window. And he said, we will lose control if we don't move now. He did a televised thing and said, we have to do this. We have to have this. I did not want to do this, but we can't take the chance because it could knock us back even further. Italy made the shot mandatory for all health workers, everybody that's anywhere on the front lines. They have to get it because they're seeing this surge. All right. Then we have William in Texas. Delaney, what's up with the different doses of J&J? I heard just briefly something about their vaccine being delayed because there's some kind of screw up at the manufacturers. Yeah, you're talking about, that was a huge story. It's in a Baltimore plant, a manufacturing plant. They were doing two coronavirus vaccines. They accidentally conflated the vaccine's ingredients several weeks ago, so they ruined 15 million doses of the J&J vaccine, and that forced the delay of the plant's production lines and the authorization of it. That's why. So that pushed them back, and the mix-up has halted future shipments of J&J doses in the United States while the FDA investigates. And that's not good. I mean, that's embarrassing for Johnson & Johnson that we have the one-dose vaccine. And so many people, I want to get the one-dose vaccine because it'll speed everything up. And, well, whoops, best laid plans, a screw-up at the Baltimore plant. And the shipments are in question. The quality control issues have to be sorted out. So all the way around, not good. And then Sue in New Orleans said, Kate, I've heard you talk about the possibility of these passports and the fact that if you're vaccinated, you'll be able to work in certain places or fly certain places or who knows what it would entitle you to. But do you think that's really going to become a big deal? I think with corporations and events, it may be a big deal. I know that there is absolutely a standardized credential system that's being discussed. And there's definitely venues that are only going to open to vaccinated guests. Cruise lines, I would imagine, are limiting service to vaccinated travelers. Why? Because they're floating petri dishes and they don't want any blowback, lawsuits, spread of the virus, that whole thing. In sports, the Miami Heat is offering up sections only to vaccinated fans. So see that whole thing about the vaccinated, non-vaccinated, it's going to become a big deal. It is. And a handful of passports are in the works right now. Two in Vegas. Does that mean the Vegas businesses are going to limit access solely to vaccinated guests? Who knows? Private companies are definitely looking at a credential system, some kind of system. I mean, that's why they were rewarding so many of their employees for getting it. Oh, we'll give you a gift card. We'll do this. You get an extra day off. Because they really wanted people to be vaccinated. Las Vegas Sands Corporation announced that they're going to be using mobile technology called HealthPass from identity company Clear, right? And that application can show health information like COVID-19 test results. And in the near future, it's going to be used at on-site conventions, trade shows, and meetings in Las Vegas. So that's what I think the in-person meetings and trade shows are so, it just, they got clobbered. As somebody who speaks a lot in that industry, I saw exactly what happened to so many of my meeting planner friends. And listen, there are CVBs all over the United States, all over the world. In fact, tourism is what? Number one in lots of nooks and crannies. So that may be what happens when you have people coming in for any kind of a trade show. They may have to prove that they're vaccinated. The Venetian, a huge hotel in Vegas, is saying that they would limit access to any venues to those who have been vaccinated or recently tested negative for the virus. So those who have been vaccinated, more of the passport around the place, negative, you know, that's the whole thing. Because they don't want to deal with the potential of a spreader, any kind of a spreader event. That's what they're afraid of. Afraid of lawsuits, afraid of having that just in a huge resort, how that could possibly spread. Yeah. Coming up next, Michael Yen will get you pumped up with his philosophy about moving forward and living a, I'm going to call it a real life, feeling what I call alive. Stay with us.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden unveiled his infrastructure plan Wednesday, a package that will cost more than $2 trillion.
It's not a plan that tinkers around the edges. It's a once-in-a-generation investment in America, unlike anything we've seen or done since we built the interstate highway system and the space race decades ago. In fact, it's the largest American jobs investment since World War II.
The plan focuses on transportation infrastructure, water system improvements, school construction, and job training. The package would also raise the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21% to pay for the new spending. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he's not likely to support the plan due to the tax increases. This is USA Radio News. A batch of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccines has had to be thrown out after it failed quality checks. In a statement, the company said that an ingredient made by supplier Emergent BioSolutions did not meet standards, causing the batch to be discarded. The New York Times first reported the news, saying that 15 million doses were lost, but the company has not confirmed the size of the batch. Johnson & Johnson says that it still plans on delivering the 100 million doses it had promised by the end of June. And Pfizer has announced that its vaccine is 100% effective against the virus for kids ages 12 to 15. The company said that the side effects it observed in the group were similar to those that appeared in young adults. The company's CEO said Wednesday that the data was encouraging and that Pfizer will submit that data to the FDA soon to have their emergency use authorization amended for the younger age group. Their vaccine is currently authorized for use in people ages 16 and up. Moderna and Johnson & Johnson have also announced upcoming trials testing the vaccine for children. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Pleasure to be joined by Michael Yen, Dr. Michael Yen, Physical to Metaphysical in Four Steps and One Giant Leap. That's the name of his book, and we had a fabulous off-air conversation. I mean, really, he could fill up probably three of my shows talking about just his foreign service and some of the amazing things that he's done. But it's enabled him to see life, I think, from lots of different angles. So, Dr. Yen, thanks for coming on.
Kate, it's really nice to talk to you again.
So let's talk about this. You emphasized to me how important it is, you know, why the book, why did you do this book? Why did you feel this need to do physical to metaphysical? What does that mean?
This is my first book, and I really never felt the need to write a book. What I felt was the need to tell people about what happened to me, how I went from physical to metaphysical. I mean, that in itself already sounds kind of far out. Like, what does that even mean? And I'm here to tell you as clearly as I can what happened to me and why I even felt the need to go from, quote, physical to metaphysical. A lot of stuff happened to me in my life. I saw a ghost. My dad died when I was in my 30s. Things that I just couldn't deal with the mindset that I had, which I think from at the time was very typical of someone who grew up in the States. This was very scientific, very materialistic. You know, everything has a material explanation. You see a ghost, well, there's a material explanation. You just don't know it. It's like it'll come later. Just don't worry about it. And that's very much how I dealt with seeing a ghost with my friend. So I wasn't hallucinating. We saw it at the same time. This is in Taiwan, so maybe because of the traditional culture there, you know, seeing a ghost was not so weird. When we told people, they're all just like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, oh, that place? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like in America, it's more far out, but in Taiwan, it was totally just expected. So I didn't really have to deal with it. But a few years later, after that incident, my dad died. And that knocked me for a loop. I couldn't really deal with it. Fortunately, you know, it wasn't like an accident. You know, he had a stroke, but he was in the hospital for quite some time. I was able to fly back from Japan, where I was working at the U.S. Embassy at the time. But that really was the event that broke my materialistic viewpoint. I couldn't deal with it, and it needed something else. And so for me personally, that was the need, the drive for going from just a physical orientation to a more metaphysical one, where unseen things, spiritual things, has a role, could offer an explanatory power in my life to make my life work better. And a few years after my dad died, I was in China working at the American consulate in Guangzhou. And through a happenstance, I find myself enrolled into the inaugural Jungian PhD program in China while I was still working as a PhD. And like you said, that's another program by itself right there. But long story short, being enrolled in Jungian psychology and learning all about that turned my life into a more metaphysical orientation. But that alone didn't do it. A lot of other life experiences needed to happen. But eventually, I was secure enough that I felt I need to tell other people what happened, how I did it, and to try to help other people maybe do it quicker.
And what I like about your book, Dr. Yen, is that you lay it out specifically. And as I said with the title, Physical to Metaphysical in Four Steps and One Giant Leap, you can get it on Amazon, is then you talk about these four steps. So tell us about that.
Before I go into that, one quick thing about it's not just a personal need. There's obviously a global need for everyone to go from a physical orientation to a more metaphysical. And I'll just cite one example. In both sociology and anthropology, there's a dictum that whatever society pays a lot of attention to, like if there's a lot of terms for something, that's where the focus of that society is. Like supposedly the Eskimos have 70 words for ice, snow. Well, in America, we have 170 plus terms for crazy. There's 50 kinds of phobia, 50 kinds of this and that, and that's it's never going to end. Every year, they're coming up with new terms, new ways of splicing crazy. That, to me, is a sign that the whole orientation is wrong. To keep going down that way is only going to generate more of the same thing. Now, to turn it around would be to stop looking for physical solutions or physical causes to all this insanity. It's inside. The answer is metaphysical. So, four steps, what are they? Well, the first step is just to realize you're not material. You're not your body. So the first step is, as I say in the book, you're not your body. That's the first realization. And out of that flows a freedom from a lot of fear that people carry around. If on a deep being level you can accept and understand that you're not your body, well, getting sick and dying is not so fearful. And dying is something now you can look at and think about, and wrap your head around. Whereas I dare say 90-some percent of people turn away from that very consciously. They don't want to think about it. Anything that reminds them of that is just scary, and they turn away from it psychologically. And that in itself is going to breed a kind of depression and sickness as you get older, as the event draws nearer inevitably. Well, that's not a good way of being, to face fear, to have fear for something you must face. So that's the first step, to go through a lot. And I lay it out in the book, you know, certain realizations, certain observations that will get you there. Second step, you're not your emotions either. So emotions are less physical, but you can still feel them. So the first three steps really are very simple, because these are things that as you do them, you could really feel it. The third step is you're not your thoughts. Less physical than emotions, but you can still feel them. Thoughts have weight. You can literally feel them shifting in your mind. When you reach a certain level of understanding, it is like, you know, light coming in or veil being lifted. We've all felt these things in our lives, I'm sure. These are things that when I talk to people, they immediately understand. Like if you have an emotional breakthrough, it's like a dam bursting. You can literally feel a physical movement inside yourself. Obviously, not like a feeling like inside your brain or in your arm, not like that. But you feel emotions, I guess, in every cell of your body. So the understanding is we live our life carrying all these information, all these memories, as if they're everything. It's like a rainbow spectrum, you know. beyond the rainbow, there's a lot more energy and information out there in the ultraviolet, in the infrared. What we see is a very small part, and everything we've experienced since birth through our five senses is like that within the rainbow. And if you don't understand and allow that there's way more beyond that, what I'm calling the metaphysical, your life will be extremely limited. You will think it's great, you got all the colors, but something is always going to be missing. So the fourth step is to understand you're not your body, you're not your emotions, you're not your thought. Well, you are energy, and everything is energy. This universe, everything is energy. So that's the fourth step. A good way of visualizing this for our technological times is that your body is the hardware. Your emotions is the firmware. Your thoughts are the software. And your energy is the electricity that makes everything go. Well, what's the fifth level? What's the big leap into? That's the person using the computer. It's not in the computer. Everything we can experience here that I've talked about from birth since then, it's like you're seeing it on the computer screen. Your body is the computer, you got your firmware, you got your software, you got electricity, everything's going great, but our entire lives is really, if you're living materialistically, everything is prescribed within the limits of that screen. All your emotions, all your highs, all your achievements, all your sadness, all your tragedy, everything is just in that screen. But spiritually, you know, soul, I don't want to use these words because they come so loaded with people from different religious backgrounds. And my whole approach is to say, my approach is actually kind of materialistic, if you will. Because I'm trying to take people from where they are right now, sitting here, or where they are listening to this physical, to go, look, a little bit lower, less substantial is your emotional self. Little bit let's go the other way. A little bit lighter, less material now is your thoughts. Speed of thought, faster than the speed of light, right? So great. But still, it's still physical. You, everyone need to go all the way. Past the electricity, all the way out of the computer, to our real being. To the person out there trying to do their signal into the computer, into this physical body of where we are now. It's like the saying, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Well, that means our spiritual self is not in this human experience. None of that is here. It's all in this metaphysical realm, trying to get a signal to get us to move the arm the right way, to feel the right way, to love the right way, to do all that the right way. And we're struggling to translate that impulse into our physical life, but most of that is not here. So the way to get healthy, the way to get the avatar to move right and not be like, oh, creaky and not getting the signal, which is how most people's lives are lived. Most people are not getting a high-speed broadband signal from their spiritual self and everything is just going, zoom! There are moments like that in everyone's life. Even the homeless guy, I'm sure, can remember a moment or a time when, hey, everything was going great that day. That's not due to some physical reason. That's not because he found $100 on the street. It's because the connection to your spiritual source is flowing good in that moment. So let me get to the biggest part of the book, which is the giant leap, the one giant leap. And as we mentioned before, very few people go into the mechanics of how to meditate. I myself, you know, as I was seeking, listened to a lot of different teachers, and I learned a lot from them. But ultimately, I had to kind of find my own way to meditate.
All right, we'll be back with more of Michael Yen here just in a second on the show. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael Yen here on the show, and we were just talking about what he found out about meditating. So, Dr. Yen, what are the ways that you found out that you wanted to tell us about meditating and how to really do it?
Here's what I have to share with people. When you sit down, you become quiet. It's like when the light starts to go down, details come up and they become big, like, oh, that itch in your toe is now getting all your attention, or that thought about that you pay the bill is now becoming huge. Well, when you're going through your busy life, you don't find those things as distracting. But when you sit still, those things become huge. Well, the thing is to push past that. And the signal, I think, that people could look for is that feeling of when you're kind of drifting off, like when you're tired and you start to drift off. Ever notice how all your physical sensations start to like become like tunnel vision? But it's not just vision. If you really think about it, it's really all your sensations. Your sensation of sitting on the chair, sound, everything starts to kind of like become tunnel as you are drifting off. And now if you fall asleep, that would become a point and then flick out and then you're asleep. Or even if your head just nods down for 1 second, you know what I'm talking about. It's that whole feeling of, then you nod off, but then because your head's going down, you bring it back up and you're awake. Now, in my experience, successful meditation often comes exactly like that. You quiet your mind, and it's that whole thing of, you know, the stars are there all the time, but the daylight is blocking it. But as the sun goes down, then the stars come out, but the stars were there the whole time. So what I'm saying is these metaphysical experiences, these spiritual inclinations, they're there all the time. You can't live without them. You can't be here without them. But you just don't notice them during the day because there's too much noise. But as you meditate or as you go to sleep, those go away and you start to notice these other things. But the trick is to, as you notice that narrowing down of all your sensation, to not go to sleep, but to... it's a very fine thing, because if you become too conscious, you will just wake up. All the sensations will come flooding back, and you just be sitting there again. Like, a lot of people get very frustrated, because for them, meditation is like, sat there for an hour, and my butt hurt, and nothing happened. Yes, that can happen to everyone. But also, it can also happen that within 30 seconds, you find this happening. Everything is going a little tunnel vision, but instead of falling asleep, you go through it. You come out the tunnel. And now you have, and I don't want to color anyone's experience or put something like they expect to have that. I'll just say that for me, many times now, and because I've done it so much, I can do it very quickly. You go through a tunnel and you have non-physical perception. Now, I'll just leave it at that. Again, because I don't want to color people's expectation and they try for that. And that doesn't work. You have to experience naturally whatever was there for you. And try to remember, it's like the stars and the sunlight thing. Your spiritual reality is there with you now. Your metaphysical self is trying to get through to you now. Most of us don't pay attention. We're too focused on whatever we're doing, and so it doesn't work. But everything I write in the book is not new. There is nothing new. Is that a good thing to say to try to sell a book? But it is true. There is literally nothing new in my book except one thing, a particular method I came to induce meditation or, you know, out-of-body travel quicker. I call it the inner sun technique. So I guess that's the only thing I can say is new in the book. But all the ideas about, you know, the metaphysical reality. I mean, in Western classical experience, it goes all the way back to Plato and beyond. Not everyone may know about this, but Plato wrote about an allegory of the cave, where this physical reality is just shadows on a cave, and all of us are like slaves chained to the facing one way, the back of the cave, and all we see are the shadows, and that is physical reality. The reality is behind us. You know, what is projecting the shadow, the outside of the cave? That's the metaphysical reality. And in Buddhism, well, that's the foundation of Buddhism, that this reality is illusion. Illusion. And therefore being caught up in it, in you know, whether you're a king or a slave, it will only bring suffering if you're going into the illusion, or what I'm calling the physical orientation. And the only solution is turn around, the other orientation, and it's the best form of physical psychotherapy. I've done Jungian psychotherapy and seen the miraculous work of talk therapy, that you could just literally talk, 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 and someone, their eyes has a little watering up, a little breakthrough, and then bam, their whole life is better. All the physical manifestations of their, you know, emotional illness, gone. Well, this is even better than that. Because psychotherapy is only happening on that third level of the mind. And it's great, but it doesn't go deep enough. You know, it doesn't go to your energy level. Because a lot of people have a breakthrough, but then they go back. And why is that? Because the energy level didn't change. You only change your mind, and your mind can change back just like that. I mean, how easy is it to change software? Pretty easy. Pretty easy. And how is it, you know, how easy is it for corruption to set into software? Pretty easy. So, really, there's only two types of crazy in my estimation. There's emotional illness and there is psychological illness, working on both two levels. And they interchange, and so it's very complicated, and there's a lot of good work to be done in psychology. It helps a lot of people. But I wrote the book because I felt I had to go deeper, And then I didn't really change my life in an orientation, you know, being level until I went deeper. As we mentioned in our previous talk, you know, I saw a UFO. My life didn't really change. It was a little push. My dad died. I was devastated. But my life didn't really change. I didn't really do anything different. I got a PhD in Jungian psychology. I quit my old job. I, you know, moved back home to take care of my mom and deal with all of, you know, my issues with her. And my life didn't really change. But once I made this completely undiscernible change from the outside, this like metaphysical orientation, everything changed. And then you could say it's synchronicity. You could say it's, you know, the spiritual being more significant. My material life changed. I got married very late in life. Wasn't really part of the plan, but it happened very quickly. And then it was like the perfect person. She's even more spiritual than me. She's making me be a vegan. So oh, no, I shouldn't put it that way. Thank my wife so much for helping me become a vegan. That's exactly what I mean. yeah, but that also is flowing from the first step, you know, changing your diet, changing your physical self. All of that is really in the first step. But like I wrote in the book, it's not necessary for you to change your diet. It's not necessary for you to do exercise. That's not necessary. What is necessary to get past the first step is on a very deep being level, integrating the idea, you're not your body. So I think, you know, we should stop there.
And yeah, we should stop there because there's so much we could go into. And it was so fascinating because you told us how you made the change and why you're so passionate about this and how it can change your life. So I suggest you pick up the book, Dr. Michael Yen, Physical to Metaphysical in 4 Steps and 1 Giant Leap. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. And I just came out with the second book. It's going to be a trilogy. So the second book is the called Places Beyond Belief, and it's the idea of you make this leap, well, you land somewhere, right? You sure do, and it's in a place beyond belief.
Ooh, can't wait for that one. Thank you, Dr. Yen.
Okay, really nice talking to you.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.